Well, as we continue to read carefully through Matthew's Gospel, looking at all that Jesus said and did, we're taking note of who Jesus is, his character, and the actions that flow from that. We note too that Jesus is teaching disciples, disciples who will continue to demonstrate that the kingdom of God is among us until that day when Jesus returns. Then, every eye will see and every knee will bow before him as king. In this incident, Matthew concerns himself not only with Christology, that's to answer the questions who is Christ and what is the significance of what Jesus did, but also the faith required of disciples. Ultimately, that's you and me. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Bible that is a guide to the path of those who diligently seek to live in its light. We thank you for the help you have given us in the person of the Holy Spirit, so that we might become those disciples of Jesus whose faith grows when we step out in obedience to it. May our lives reflect that of Jesus in our character and our actions, so that others too will witness to the reality of your kingdom, the only kingdom that is advancing each day towards the day of Christ's return. And may we know, whether in the solitary places or those of storm, your presence with us. Amen. Before we read about the events in Matthew's Gospel today, Jesus had been hearing of the death of his cousin, John the Baptist, and had tried unsuccessfully to get away from the crowd. They pursued him, even to this quiet place. And the climax of this story came in the multiplication of 5 loaves and 2 fishes to more than satisfy the hunger of 5,000 men plus women and children. Quite a crowd, by all accounts. In this feeding of the crowd, Jesus demonstrates that he's far greater than any magician of his day. He's not competing with the David Blaine or Derren Brown equivalent, apparently healing a few individuals and turning a few stones into bread. At the very least, he's like Moses, through whom God provided bread and meat for the Israelites there in the wilderness. In Exodus 16, manna from heaven and quail that came, so they had enough to eat. Or with Elisha, who fed 100 men with 20 barley loaves and had leftovers. The ultimate point of this miracle was to point to Jesus himself as the bread of heaven. The point was not mainly that Jesus gives bread to satisfy our stomachs, but that he is the bread to satisfy our souls. At last, having dismissed both the crowd and his disciples, Jesus is able to go to higher ground to pray alone. For most of us, being alone is something we can imagine. But actually, getting alone in God's presence is a little bit more difficult. Probably the most difficult. It's not meant to be a rule or a prerequisite of life in Christ, but an essential delight in being in God's presence as his dearly loved children. A being together that reinvigorates whether words are spoken or not. Like the peace that comes in the closeness of a father holding his newborn as they fix their gaze upon one another. As a child of God, being alone as Jesus was here in verse 23 is one, if not probably, the most energizing encounter we may have. But of course, we have to learn who we are in Christ before we can recognize this aloneness is not simply an abandonment by our fellows, but such a life-giving grace in which we may encounter our Heavenly Father. It's in the early hours of the morning that Jesus leaves this place of solitude to catch up with his disciples. By then, they're set against the direction of the wind and some way off, buffeted by waves. Now, in this retelling, Matthew takes Jesus' role to an altogether different level, that reserved for God alone. We read in Job 9:8, "He, that is God, alone stretches out the heavens and treads on the waves of the sea." Or in Psalm 77, "Your road led through the sea, your pathway through the mighty waters, a pathway no one knew was there." And here in Matthew 14, about 3 o'clock in the morning, Jesus came toward them walking on the water. When the disciples saw him walking on the water, they were terrified, and in their fear, they cried out, "It's a ghost!" Matthew is pointing to the divinity of Jesus. My guess is that still rowing at 3 o'clock in the morning, the disciples must have been pretty exhausted. No doubt it is this state of exhaustion that ideas about ghosts or disquieted spirits causes fear to rise within them, such that they cried out in fear. Jesus' response is not rebuke, but to encourage them and to identify himself to them. "Don't be afraid," he said. "Take courage. I am here." These three little words, "I am here," or literally, "I am," are the name of God. Peter's response is one we've heard before in the story. "Lord, if it's really you," we heard it from Satan in the temptation of Jesus in the wilderness, "if it's really you, turn these stones into bread." And we heard it from the mockers at the cross, "if it's really you, save yourself." Although walking on water is Peter's idea, Jesus invites him to come. The rebuke Peter received was not for suggesting that he walk on water, but that in the presence of Jesus, he should lack faith. Jesus' teaching was not simply that the disciples could regurgitate the facts, but an expectation that they would also demonstrate the authority of God in practice by faith. Walking into water also recalls the faith of the priests in Joshua's time. Do you remember when they were entering the promised land and the river Jordan is in full spate and the most precious possession they have is the Ark of the Covenant, in which are the tablets of stone and over which the presence of God came? And Joshua is telling the guys, "Okay, walk into the river." Well, we know it only takes about that much water and you'll get washed off your feet. And yet, they walk into the water, and the river stops. "So come," says Jesus, "walk, come." Peter's failure came when he looked at the obvious physical things around him, the wind and the waves. He began walking, trusting in the one who he had seen do so many wonders, who called him, "Come, Peter. Come." He failed when he turned to look at the natural circumstances he found himself in, rather than in God's power that was sustaining him as he stepped out of the boat and began to walk on the water. But once the disciples know it is Jesus, once he and Peter are back in the boat, fear is gone. The calm sea reflects their calmed hearts, and their response is to worship Jesus, the Son of God. It's the first time in Matthew's Gospel, we're up to chapter 14 now, that the disciples recognize he is the Son of God and do what's appropriate. They come and worship him there. And notice that Jesus doesn't speak to the storm, but immediately it is stilled, responding to his authority. But why is Matthew recalling this incident here? Maybe it has something to do with the events of the day, the feeding of the 5,000. When you serve Jesus and give, and give until you think you can give no more, Jesus will take care of you. Always be enough for you. If you pour out your life to give bread to the world, Jesus will be your all-satisfying bread. The more you satisfy others, the more Jesus will be your satisfaction. The more you give life to others, the more Jesus will give life to you. So here is a picture of the disciples in the dark, in a storm, bereft of Jesus. Right after a miracle whose point was, in John's retelling, I am the bread of heaven, and if you feed on me, you will live forever. But now their life is imperiled, not by hunger, but because a strong wind had arisen and they were fighting heavy waves. This time, Jesus doesn't give them bread to feed the crowd. He gives them the miracle of his presence when they thought there's no way he could be there. Matthew's storyline shows us the disciples' faith is progressively developing and invites us to explore the deeper realms of faith today, here, where we live. Or where you live, maybe across the river. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Matthew's Gospel, which tells us about the divinity of Jesus and the faith required of disciples. We thank you for the help you have given us in the person of the Holy Spirit, so our faith grows when we step out in obedience to it. Guide our steps, that we may diligently seek to live in the light, reflecting the character of Jesus. May we witness to the reality of your kingdom, the only kingdom that is advancing each day towards the day of Christ's return. And may we know your presence with us, both in the solitary places and in the storms of this world. Amen.